Hi, today's topic is basically what is science. To do science, you basically have to make an assumption, and that's that the universe is rational. In other words, there is cause and effect. If the universe isn't rational, then you can't reliably make a measurement. And we'll talk a little bit more about rational in a couple of minutes. Okay, now, the idea of science is basically to describe what we see around us, to say how things work, to be able to make measurements, reproduce those measurements, and ultimately be able to manipulate our environment to some degree. So we've been able to develop some fairly sophisticated measurements. We can look at motion, temperature, pressure. We can look at how things change in time. And from those measurements, we can begin to put together an explanation or model of what's going on. Now, models aren't just limited to physicists. This is a physics course, but people often try to break the sciences up into the physical sciences and the biological sciences. Okay, the physical sciences generally include physics, chemistry, geology, meteorology, astronomy. You could break that up into a lot of different ways. As a physicist, I see chemistry and astronomy as just applied areas of physics. I see geology, in fact, there's an area called geophysics. I see geology really as an applied area of physics. I don't know that much about geology because I haven't spent time in that particular applied area. Similarly with meteorology. My view, again, is these are just subsets of physics, but they're areas where people who are experts in those areas have spent their time really looking at those areas. For instance, with geology, you don't have to spend your time looking necessarily at relativity, which is generally considered part of physics. So you concentrate on those parts of physics that are really geared towards the Earth, rock formation, planet formation, if you're looking at the geology of other planets. If we actually sort of try to break things apart, to me the real difference is there are social sciences and then there are natural sciences. And the natural sciences, ultimately, we can do a little bit better with a mathematical description. Okay, we can use mathematics language to describe what's happening. It's really a matter of us figuring out what's going on. With the social sciences, that's not so easy to do. You might be able to describe what a large group is doing, but in the social sciences, we're also very interested in what individuals are doing, and we can't really do that, at least not at this point. Okay. Well, and maybe I should just add a few more words. There are some social sciences, for instance, economics might be considered a social science, and there are a lot of physicists who do certain kinds of economics and even finance. And those parts, which can really be quantified, are very much accessible to doing physics on. Let's talk about the scientific method at this point. I'm going to give you the short version, which I can cover on one slide, and then I'll talk a little bit, but let you look at the more involved explanation that the author provides. Okay, so my short version is, it begins with observation. Everybody makes observations. When you try to quantify them, you're starting to do science. You're not doing it yet, you're starting to do it. Okay, then you try to come up with a model. And if that model includes a mechanism, and the importance of including a mechanism is that you can apply that to other situations and it makes it testable. If it doesn't work, well, there's probably something wrong with your model. So you essentially take that model with its mechanism And you use that to predict new phenomena and explain, hopefully, other diverse observations. Based on those observations, you modify the model, try to clean up some discrepancies. Maybe it's just a refinement, and maybe you throw the model out and start from scratch. And if you repeat that, now you're really doing science, because you're making an assumption that what you observe today is observable tomorrow. That's repeatable. Okay. You're willing to test it by applying it to a new situation, and you're willing to modify it as needed. Almost every theory that's around today will sooner or later get modified, or we pretty much know what its limitations are, and within those limitations, it won't have to be modified. Okay? Classical mechanics is one of those examples. We know it's good for things that are going relatively slowly and things that are macroscopic. You can see them with the naked eye. We know that when you get down into the, say, 10 to the minus 6 meter range, so remember that's like the wavelength of light, regular mechanics isn't so good. You need quantum mechanics. If you start going really fast, so say a couple of percent the speed of light, we know mechanics isn't good anymore. Within the constraints, though, relatively slow, relatively large, mechanics is a really good theory, and nobody really expects it to have to be modified anymore. Now, the theory of really fast and really small, we fully expect that that's going to have some modifications. It's still a good theory, or they are good theories, but they're not necessarily considered complete. Okay, so more involved explanation. Measurements are the basis of scientific research. Okay, we've sort of talked about that. That's, you know, your author uses measurements, and I sort of used observation, because if you're not going to quantify it, you don't even know what you observed. Okay, so phenomena are observed. We end up with more questions. Okay, and we assume that the universe is orderly and can be understood. That's another way of saying rational. In other words, You have to assume that there's no supernatural being that's going to come in and start changing the rules on you. And if the rules keep changing, then you can't hope to describe what the rules are. So you have to assume the universe is rational. Okay? Then you'll see the author, and this is a sort of traditional way of saying the scientific method. You talk about observation and measurements, hypothesis, experiments, theory, and law. Well, if you look about it, hypothesis is sort of a model. Experiments are further observations. Theory is when you've refined that hypothesis multiple times, and eventually, if you're really, really certain of things, you start talking about laws. Mechanics, classical mechanics, within its constraints, is still considered a theory, but you can pretty much take it as a law. We talk about Newton's three laws because they're that well understood within their range of application. Okay? Now, I'm going to let you read the details, because you don't need me reading all the slides for you. So you go ahead and read the details for the next few slides that sort of try to spell out what each of these components are. Okay? And then finally, for this section of the audio file, one of the things that's important for scientists to remember is that we're not necessarily great eyewitnesses. What we think we see is not necessarily what we do see. Okay? Things are based on sight, hearing, smell, taste, touch. Eyewitness accounts are not really that good. If you look at some of the slides that are included that show basically optical illusions, you'll see, your eye can be tricked until you figure out what the trick is, and then it goes away. Okay? And so one of the things that a physicist has to do, and this is true of any scientist, is make sure that what they're measuring is not tainted by how they make the measurement. Okay? By the way, when we start playing with quantum mechanics, how we make the measurement counts, but you've got to be aware of that and deal with that. Okay? So take a look at those slides, and then in our next talk, we'll do a little bit on measurements and what kind of measurements are really important in physics. Thank you.